We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That is right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I am not Giancarlo Navas. He is on a temporary sabbatical because he decided that he needed to take one for the team because Kyle Lowry was making his, second debut on the Heat postgame show against the Heat. Or this is his first time playing against the Heat because technically he should have played the first game when he got traded. He did get traded, but signed with the Sixers. Anyways, Gianni decided to take the day off, go watch an anime movie in theaters. I didn't know that was a thing. You can watch anime movies in theaters now.
It's an old one, too. It's
like my wine. Anyways, so he decided to do that instead of watching the Heat Sixers game because he really wanted to support Kyle Lowry in his absence. Mm-hmm. And with me today, we got Frankie with me on the top right. How are you doing, Frankie?
Bam hit 2-3, so I kind of win, you know. And no G, so we do win.
Yeah, that's true. And then on the bottom, we got Saucy Takes, a.k.a. Lou, Coach Lou.
The Heat saving me on my FPL bill. No sign today. No sign will not be lit until this offense decides to light it up eventually. God damn it.
And then we also do have our shadow producer, Pablo, Pablito. How do you go by, Bound?
Hi, guys.
Pablito? Okay.
You can call me Pablito. Right.
So we got all of us together to talk about this abomination of a game. Honestly, this team what is this thing? And I haven't caught every post-game show. Is this a bit with Gino that he's being called out for his hat? Okay, well, I'm falling in his suit. This Heat game was like really bad because what we've seen from this team over the course of the last 2 weeks since G staged arena has been absolute dog shit. Like, they barely scrape wins against the Pistons. They lose against the Wizards. They're losing against the Western Conference teams, which, I mean, is usual. But except this time of the year, we're in March. Those games are usually in January when we lose those games, not like West Coast road trip. But we lose games against Denver, against the Mavs, against the Thunder. We'll obviously lose one against the Wizards, like I mentioned earlier. We barely win against the Pistons, but you don't feel great about those wins, honestly. Like, do you? Like, no, I don't feel like I feel great about those wins. And then you come to this game hoping that at least, hey, if you win this game, you get the tiebreaker over the Sixers. So at worst, if you finish with the same record as Philly, you at least maybe don't make the play-in. You just get the sixth seed. They can't even fucking do that right now. Without Embiid, I'll have you, but also Miami without Jimmy once again, and without Tyler. And also without like almost a half of Duncan. We'll get into that later in the game.
And Kevin Love. Absence
might affect them. Yeah, and without Kevin Love.
Missing all the legends today.
Yeah, so this Heat team barely scrapes win against the bottom feeders of the East. And then against a team where, you know, I feel like they're evenly matched right now, you know, injuries in, put aside, like, you think this should have been a win for them. And they had a chance. They had chances to come back at the end of the game. And they don't pull together. And it, I feel like it's like this common denominator now with this team, like in crunch time, like they don't make their free throws and they don't rebound well enough to win these close games anymore like they used to. That was something they did really well over the last two seasons in this like crunch time offense. And I feel like now we're getting a sample size where like this team isn't good enough to like win these close games in crunch time, as Anthony Chang would tweet. And that's problematic because we're less than a month away from the playoffs, and also they're dealing with injuries once again. So what do you feel you took away from this game? I'll start with Frankie.
I mean, I don't take too much from it because they were second night of a back-to-back. It's been a rough go rotation-wise. They're counting on Patty Mills for 22 minutes. Duncan missed most of the second half. You know, this was a winnable game, but, you know, they just didn't have enough on the court. They don't have the shooting variance that older Heat teams have had. There's really nobody else on the team. There's no Kyle Guy even on the fucking team that can just come out of nowhere, hit three or four threes and give you a little boost for a run. That early fourth quarter run where they were pressing the hell out of them and getting deflections, getting turnovers, they kind of paid for it at the end because Terry, Caleb, Jaime were all out of fucking gas at the end. And their decision making in the half court at the end of the game really showed it. And I would have liked them to get Bam more involved there. They were Sixers did a good job double teaming, trying to force the ball away from him, deny him the ball. But I feel like they could have done a much better job getting him involved late. He only finished with 10 shots, 2 free throw attempts. That's not enough on a shorthanded night. Like you want him to get at least 15, 20 shots. And he didn't have a field goal attempt in the fourth quarter. That's garbage. But defensively, they were trash in man. In zone, they were pretty good. Few plays, few turnovers. Like you mentioned, the free throws. 9 for 14 doesn't cut it. 15 turnovers. Terry had a rough overall night. Was really good in the fourth. And so he ran out of gas too, but just a lot of incomplete performances. They didn't have enough. They needed like one more fucking guy, just one more fucking guy. Patty Mills and DeLon Wright combined for 1 for 10 off the bench.
Oof, that's rough. Lou, we'll go to you next. What did you take away from tonight's game?
It's gotten to a point where one of the strong suits of this team was depth. They no longer have that. Like Frankie said, my biggest takeaway was they needed somebody else to step up. Typically, when Duncan is off the bench, that's typically Duncan. After he got hurt, it felt like they had found a nice 3 to 4 people to close, but the fifth guy was honestly a zero. They basically played 6 guys today. 6.5 because you know Thomas Bryant was actually pretty decent today. It just felt like they were struggling. I need to see something out of this team in terms of half court execution or just like too much getting into the middle of the floor and pivot, pass out to the top wing, 6 seconds left, and then we have a guy who shouldn't have, like, we got Haywood Highsmith trying to create something, or I don't know. We're just relying too much on other players and due to injuries. But today it felt like honestly nobody stepped up on the offensive end of the floor aside from, like, you know, the main guys, I guess. And even then it wasn't like they were efficient, you know, only Bam is the only one who today I'm like, you know what, Bam, you got it, brother. And Thomas Bryant wasn't bad either, but everybody else, yikes.
What did Bam finish with his stat line? Was he like, he was definitely over 50% shooting, but what did he finish with?
20, 13, 6, and 4 turnovers.
On 8 for 10 shooting.
8 for 10. Yeah. It felt like he didn't shoot enough.
They doubled him out of the game, and just like he didn't have somebody else.
Yeah.
I don't know. They just didn't have, they did not have somebody else. It sucks because typically like to like Frankie's point said, you know, Kyle Guy shows up or something.
Yeah. I would kill for Nick Sauskas right now.
Yeah, somebody. I don't know. Maybe they should have brought up Cole Swider today or insert.
Well, you know what? William. You make a great point there, Lou, because that was something that they relied on over these last 3 years was those two-way guys. You know, Caleb was one of them, obviously. They had guys like Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, even Yurtseven at one point. A lot of these guys were on two-way contracts that they used a lot on your service days to, you know, help mitigate the point of these injuries and also give them extra depth so that they can, you know, release some of these minutes that a lot of these guys are playing right now. And especially on a night like a back-to-back, you want to hopefully get a little deeper. And that's why you have two-way guys, so you can play them in these kind of games, especially when you're hurt the way that this team is. And I feel like there's not a single two-way guy that Spo has relied on this year. Like, all three of them have been absolute garbage in terms of contribution on the main roster. And that's something that they haven't really had in terms of, like,
Spo's, for a while.
Like, arsenal for, like, the last 3 years. Like, typically, there's at least one guy that can at least give you, like, 5-10 minutes here and there. Or can spot start if, like, all hell breaks. Like, they haven't had that guy. You would think Jamal Cain would have been one by now because it's now a second year in his two-way. And that's usually what happens with his team. Like, the first year is more of like a learning curve, learn the system, you know, especially on defense, because it's usually why a lot of these two-way players don't play is because of their defense. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been the case for any of these guys who are on the two-way deals. So I find that to be a little shocking right now, to be honest, like that they haven't like developed these guys because they're playing excellent. Like, the numbers would suggest that they're doing really well in the G League and that they should at least contribute slightly here. But like,
No, it's exactly what you mentioned.
Let them excite you to the point where you want to like play them every game.
No, absolutely. Sorry, Brian. But like you mentioned, like Cole Swider has been on the two-way all year round. He's doing well in the G League, 24 years old, is one of those shooters, and he's played less minutes than Patty Mills.
Yep.
And like one of the guys that was on the two-way all season, RJ Hampton, he's played DeLon Wright's already passed him in minutes. Alondis Williams has barely played. Jamal Cain has had a decent amount of minutes in 17 games, but so he hasn't really shown enough to be trusted, and even still, like they don't, you know, Spo doesn't really trust him either. It's like short stints in those 17 minutes. Just hasn't really gotten those opportunities. I haven't had those kind of guys that he's liked in the past. They're all in that kind of stage where, you know, they're learning the little things of Spo and that Spo likes, and maybe next year they'll play. But you know,
well, Jamal Cain, he can't go on a two-way next year. Like, they have to either bring him up to the main roster or he's gone, set free. And
he's probably they're losing one of Highsmith and Caleb. And let's talk about Caleb, because Delbush is going crazy in the chat about Caleb. Yeah, he was
great. But I mean, once again, like I feel like this team's relying way too much on Caleb at this point. You can, like, to me, every time I watch Caleb, every time he falls on the floor, I'm like, oh no, here it goes. Like,
yeah, dude, again. Me too.
Because like, seriously, this guy is taking so many like hits, like he's falling on the ground at least 3-4 times a game. And yeah, like it's getting scary because he's the one guy that honestly right now they can't afford to lose with the rest of these guys that are currently out, especially with Jimmy out. Like, absolutely. They need him because he's honestly been like their second, third best player besides Duncan and Bam at this point. I think Terry's been getting better. And I did not like Terry to start out with this team. He's slowly starting to buy my trust. His 3-point shooting though still needs to get better. He had like, so he's really streaky. We already knew that. My thing with him is he needs to get better at the catch and shoot, because that's the one part of this offense, this Heat team needs. They need another catch and shoot guy. Yeah. You don't really. We watched this whole game in the third quarter, just them swinging the ball around from wing to wing.
Nobody could get a shot.
Nobody could connect it. You know, you had Haywood out there. You have guys like Patty Mills, Devon Wright. Obviously, Duncan gets hurt. I don't know who else was on the floor throughout those parts of the game. But yeah, Jaime. None of these guys can make a catch and shoot three. And what we had last year were guys like Gabe, like guys like Max, obviously Hero when he was healthy. We're giving you some of that catch and shoot juice. And we don't really have that right now. And Caleb really has been the guy lately, especially after the All-Star break. He's been shooting, you know, superb from three. I think he's at over 40% now after this game.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It's not even like the fact that they're shooting bad. It's just they don't shoot enough. Like their shot takes so
long. I don't want them to shoot more though. That's the part. Do you want them to shoot more threes? Because like they don't.
I think Terry
look particularly well shooting it. Like
yeah, I mean
they don't look comfortable. Like they don't have any confidence. Like half them they don't. They just want to take the ball, take a quick look to see like where your next pass is going to be before they even want to shoot it.
Yeah, like Highsmith is a good example. Like he hasn't been bad in the corners this year. He's actually been over for 40% on both of them. He just takes very long to get those off.
He misses the important ones. That's my issue with Haywood though. He makes the ones that don't really matter.
I wouldn't say them. It's just I agree though. Like the team, the offense, just in general, has gotten too clunky. Caleb being relied on way too goddamn much. He was sensational on one end of the floor, but offensively he was, it's crazy. I actually saw it like after the game, I was like, damn, Caleb drove to the rim a lot today. It felt like he got hit a lot. How many free throws did he have? He had one free throw.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That was,
and he missed out and he missed the one.
And he missed it bad. Like he had no legs.
Yeah.
The ball was a beam at the back of the rim. I was like, but it's, you know, not to harp on the referees and stuff, like because the NBA said that they were going to change the way that they officiated. They're just not calling fouls. That's what it is. It feels like on either end. I was like, man, what are we?
Yeah,
it was tough. Maxie got hit a couple times too, but like Caleb today, to Brian's point, he was a ragdoll on offense. Every time he went in, he came up, grabbed his shoulder, came up, grabbed his elbow, then his hand. I'm like, at one point, this guy's going to lose an arm. Like, or a leg. Hopefully,
I'm surprised we haven't seen him on an injury report at this point. Like, it's crazy.
I guarantee you, as soon as Jimmy or some or two people come back, Caleb Martin is taking a day off. He's putting in his PTO early.
Teddy play.
Let's take a look at this one clip that Pablo has queued up. So Bam, I don't know what's going on with Bam lately, but he's been basically taking threes now. Ever since I guess he was questioned about it, was it during All-Star break? I don't remember when the quote came out, but basically his question that Spo needs to basically see his film of him shooting and to give him trust. And apparently the shot that Spo really likes him taking is his top of the key one. So let's roll the clip one more time. It's hilarious that they're down already almost 20 points at this with this three.
That was the best shot they had gotten up until that point in the third quarter.
Yeah.
There's
that was the second three of the game, by the way. His first three was actually in the corner, which was pretty nice. I like the corner three more than that one.
Yes.
I feel like they need more of that from him. But as you can tell, like the offense, 60 points towards almost the end of the third quarter. Bam shooting threes is not fixing this offense. And I think that's something Heat fans need to come to grips about. Like, I like Bam shooting threes, but like him shooting it isn't going to fix what the main issues are on this team. And a lot of it is that they're not just getting to the rim enough, like, and they're not getting fouls. And if you can't do both and you're relying on the variance from your 3-point shooting and you don't have like the 3-point specialist you used to have, you're going to end with a game where, yeah, you kept the other team under 100, but you couldn't score enough to beat that team. So like your defense can be as good as you want, your 2-3 zone, all that stuff, the gimmicks that you're running out there because you're short all these guys on your main roster, but you can't score. That's not going to win you guys games in the modern NBA. And yeah, I don't like where this Heat team is trending right now. It seemed like they were going to a point, you know, during that 4-game winning streak and stuff just has like basically reverted back to where it was before pre-sage.
Yeah. You know, to Brian's point, the Heat are like the second team with the lowest rim frequency in the league.
Yeah.
Only behind Golden State, but they take the most short mid-rangers. Like, it's frustrating because, you know, even Terry hasn't been able to get all the way there sometimes. Like, they lack that, like, level of slasher is, I guess, the word I'll use. Like, somebody who can just get all the way to the rim. They haven't really had that. And sometimes when they get there, to be honest, don't really finish that good.
Well, I mean, part of it is because they run shit like a 90s and 2000s team sometimes, where somebody will have a lane to drive and then two guys are cutting into the paint as well.
Yep.
And bringing on their help because the defense doesn't need to respect most of these guys as shooters. Like, you know, you have Caleb who's shooting 40% from three for the season, but he's not a guy who's you would call a shooter. He's a guy who can hit shots. And he'll take him when he's open, but he's not somebody you're worried about. Jaime is 32% for the season, and he's on a slump since December. He's shooting like 26% since December. So they have a lot of guys they really rely on, especially perimeter-oriented guys that just don't have that respect or that gravity. They miss Tyler's shooting. They miss Kevin's shooting a ton.
Yes.
Especially with the second unit and his high post passing. So it's just some stuff like Kevin and Tyler help loosen up the wheels a little bit with their shooting, but mostly Kevin because he really helps expand Jimmy and Jaime's game with the inside out threat and the pick and pop options. So, you know, without that variance and Patty's being counted on in the non-Duncan minutes to get some of that shooting, and he's 2 for 20 so far. It's rough.
Patty started off so hot for his first two games, and
I think he hit his first two. Proceed to miss 18 in a row. Don't quote me on that, but that's crazy.
He went like 3 for 4 like the first game, and he's like 2 for 20 since.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Patty.
It, you know, the biggest thing, like, chat's talking about they need Tyler so bad. It's more so that they don't have a Max. That last year they had Max and Duncan to replace him. Now they only have Duncan, and there's no other guy. Because the way they've built the roster, they haven't found that other guy to replace him.
No, that's funny, like, Frankie, because if you told me free agency, who could I pick between both Gabe or Max? Like, what was one guy I would want to keep, you know, during free agency that they both lost? I would have said Gabe. But now looking back at it, bro, they really missed Max Strus more than anything.
But it's Gabe too, because Gabe could hit the was a comfortable shooter. He was aggressive, and
especially off the pick. They missed
both. I would love to have both back on this roster again. Yeah, I would rather have them than Patty for sure, and I probably would rather have them over to
Delano,
right? Patty Mills, and I don't know who's another guard that's on the roster that's not really playing. I guess any of the two way guys.
Delano. I don't think DeLon was the, it's crazy because, like, I like some of the shots DeLon is getting to. It's just he's missing them too. It's like, can somebody take the lid off of this basket on a drive? Because somebody like Patty airballed the layup today. I was like,
oh my God, that's ever, hoop shot. This, I'm fucking tired of it.
I was like, was he ever this bad of a finisher? It didn't feel like it when he played against us in the finals. No. It felt like, I don't know.
Always had a great floater in that 3-point.
Gabe, he used to be fast. That was the thing.
Yeah, he used to be quick. The quickness has disappeared along with the rest of his offense. Yeah, he's cooked.
He's cooked.
I don't know who else would be out there that they could even pick up at this point, because at one point in the game, I thought Jarrell – I keep calling Jarrell Wright. It's – wait, let me get his name right. DeLon Wright. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to keep calling Jarrell. But at one point, it looked like DeLon Wright, like, either like suffer like an ACL injury, because like he just fell non-contact,
grabbed his knee.
I don't know if it was a wet spot or what on the floor, but like he just gave out his knee. I was like, oh shit, here we go again.
was rough, man. The just everything, they just have no variance to spread the floor, no threats. And that's why they had to like rely on the defense to get him back in the game and kind of hound that end. And it would suck too, because they couldn't get any stops like in man at all. It was fucking brutal in man. And that's why if you look at the plus minus, Bam was horrible, because they were playing man with him in the game. And that big run in the third came with him on the floor. And then when they went zone with TB and TB played well too, gave Bam a lot of rest. Badly needed on the second night of a back to back. But you know, this, it allowed the pressure to get to Philly, and they did a great job taking advantage of it. But you know, just wasn't enough.
It's crazy they haven't scored 110 points in 7 games.
It's crazy
in 2024. That's the frustrating part. Like, yeah, the defense was getting killed in man, but like it always feels like Spo has an answer to something on that end of the floor.
But they held them under 100 points. So like,
exactly. Like
the defense did enough of its job.
Exactly. They did enough of their job. The problem lately is when they do take care of the basketball, they don't get good shots. And then there's some games where they don't take care of the basketball or get good shots, like today. And you can just it looks glim at times offensively. Glim's probably being nice,
but I bet how many games since they've scored 110?
7. Was it the Pelicans game?
Pistons game.
I bet you that was the last time they hit 15 plus threes. Like, that's just how it's been this season. They can't score. They have the
variant. Their last, like, I think their last 15 plus 3-point game was that Milwaukee game. No,
they hit 14 threes against the Pistons that game. Again, the Pistons.
Yeah, like you can count on, you could probably count on like two hands how many 15.
That Milwaukee game was such a fluke at this point. Like, there's no way they're doing that again against them, are they? Like, I don't know. Well, but then again, like every single time they always have like these crazy 3-point games, it seems to be against Milwaukee.
Last 15 3-point game was against Dallas.
Yeah, and They had 108 points.
They had 108 points. And that, but that was also with Bam like playing.
That's
like
crazy. That they only had 108 points on 15 plus three-pointers.
And the 17. They finished 17 and only 10 turnovers. They just
and
can't
and they
score.
Still lost by like what?
Yeah, I think like two, five or something. It's because I feel like, I don't know, maybe some Spo slander is deserved. It's too much middies, not enough rim or threes, in my opinion. And I think that particular formula really gets exposed when they play against Denver, because we do a pretty good job of like stopping Denver, but Denver is either very deep in a drop or they're blitzing three pointers, or in a combination of both, and they just kind of live with it. The difference is Denver gets around screens a little bit better than Milwaukee, and you know, Jokic offensively is an engine and Giannis is very good, but to some degree we have that kind of figured out at least two out of the three times we've played them. So it's a different, like, you know, it is what it is, but they need to get to some of these threes. I think that's the thing that they're missing the most from Tyler isn't even his ability to like get to, cause he doesn't really get to the rim, but what he does get is he's the second best 3-point shooter on this team. Aside from Duncan is on a different stratosphere, but Tyler is the second best and still tiers above everybody else, in my opinion, in terms of like quality of spacing, quality of shot that he can get.
I still think Jimmy's second best, but
spacer, man, Jimmy takes 17 seconds to get the 3-point.
Oh, I mean, percentage wise, he's probably the best.
Yeah, he probably is.
But
Jimmy's a troll,
actually. But, Bam Bonza, over his last five games would have another word.
Five for five.
I feel like they didn't utilize the Bam can't miss from three offense.
I agree. I was like,
we're finally at the point where Bam and Jimmy are making threes and the offense still can't muster over 100 points.
They got to a point where it got bad in the third quarter. I was like, Bam, let them bitches fly,
bro. I was like, yo, I take 2K, give me a 10. Give me 10 of them.
Bumped their 3-point ratings on purpose so I can actually have a functional offense when I play like 2K my team. I get like the higher versions of the Bam and Jimmy cards that have like almost 90 plus 3-pointers.
Brian is an unethical 2K hooper. Unbelievable. Bro,
but this team, man, like they still can't score.
That's actually crazy, Brian.
These two guys shooting. And Pablo wants to say something apparently. Go ahead, Pablo.
That's crazy that you wait until Bam has a 95-3 to use Bam in 2K, bro. That is diabolical.
You played Brian with his rosters and he's a sniper. He's Dirk Nowitzki with Bam. Well, you're like, what is going on?
Here's the thing I like doing. I like building on my team, which I haven't really played much this year because they fucking nuked the whole thing with the auction house thing. That another rant from the other day. But I used to like basically build like an all Miami Heat team, like all time Miami Heat team with like 99 cards of everybody that was like, you know, they're prototypical like Hall of Fame players that they've had on their roster. So you got Shaq, Bosh, LeBron, Wade. You know, at one point I had Lowry on there. Hilarious that I put him on that list. Shout out to G if you listen to this all the way through.
Fucking Kyle.
Love you.
Yeah, Kyle was good.
I had him on there and I had Oladipo on there when we first made the trade for him too. That's how high I was on some of these guys when we had them on. And now that list is going to be Duncan. I took Hero off that table, by the way. Like Hero's not on my like 15-man roster. He used to be, but now he's no longer on there. One, because like his 3-point, like his actual like form in 2K kind of sucks. Like I don't like it.
It's Brian slow. Lowered his 3-point percentage.
Yeah, I did. I got the silver version of his card.
Brian's like, I'm gonna rate his durability up.
The other guy I can't play with ever because he's too fucking short is Tim Hardaway. Like he's just he can't play with him. He's too small.
Here's a Kyle Lowry stat. Kyle had 16 points tonight. If you combine his last six games with Miami, he had 16 points.
Incredible. He was effective and he was good for them.
Lowry over Mario Chalmers. Yeah, Mario Chalmers never had a card over like a gold or even a ruby, I think, at one point. So yeah, I wanted Mario Chalmers on my main team. In fact, the only player that was like below a pink diamond, I think, on my roster was Udonis Haslem.
That's how bad
he was my 15th man and I never played him.
Brian is talking about his 2K my team instead of talking about this game because it was so bad.
It was fucking putrid.
Oh my god, that third quarter was goddamn awful. I I risked a lot of turret quarters, and that was just really bad. That was among the worst.
I forgot what happened.
Just that run, Lou. That
17-2.
17-2. They couldn't do anything.
They could not touch the paint. Like, generally, they could not get an entry pass in. They couldn't get a post up to go in. They couldn't get anybody to drive past your man. It was, man, that was one of the worst offensive showings, like Frankie said.
They were like bobbling it out of bounds. Like, it was just incompetence.
But credit Batum, because that was the first time I've actually seen somebody frustrate Duncan to that level this year. Like, Duncan was a zero today. It was probably his worst game of the season. I know he got hurt. Hopefully he gets better, because we can't afford the last leches to go out.
The injury was like a back injury, I heard.
It's back spasms. His back's been hurting from carrying this fucking offense.
Absolutely.
At this point, like, the guy needs a break too, man. It just fucking stinks. Like, Tyler posted the thing on Instagram of him, a mood board too.
What the hell is that? Explain that to me. Like, I feel like I'm still young enough to like use social media and like be up to date with a lot of these trends and stuff. But like, is that like a Gen X thing now, or Gen Z at this point?
Gen Z.
Like, I don't, what is a mood board? Is that like, what used to be like Tumblr? Shit like that?
Is a type of, this is straight from Google, because I don't know what the fuck it is. A mood board is a type of visual presentation or collage consisting of images, text, and samples of objects in a composition.
Okay, based on why did he all have his face on them?
I don't know, man.
It looked like he was rehabbing. It looked like the Super Saiyan Z, the Saiyan in Dragon Ball Z, dude.
I saw that one.
That's what I thought it was.
The other one of him, like in the operation, like cover of like the board game.
That was just a troll. That wasn't real.
That was real. Oh, okay. I thought it was real.
No. Pablo has a clip for us. Pablo.
Oh, here's my play of the game. Yeah, go play my. Here's the play of the game from tonight.
Maxi throws the ball away under pressure. Kyle flips into the scoreboard. This is that's the most ups Kyle has shown all year. Look at that. He's like, I'm good. Unbelievable.
Kyle went over there, started wearing a blue shirt, took his fat suit off. It's despicable. How do we like this guy?
It's hilarious that this clip is like really sped up, because he was down there for like a good 30 seconds before he got up.
Yeah.
I thought for sure he like really injured himself.
Nah, a lot of cushion.
A lot of cushion. All over, honestly. he's like wearing a bubble suit. All
did
the
you
time.
See where he yeah, fell?
He's got yeah, airbags.
It was his ass. The floor was the one with the trauma.
There's a hole behind the scoreboard.
Chat is saying that I'm old man Brian yelling from my gaming chair. Yeah, that is true. I can't come back from that. Poltergeist him. Yeah, I can't come back from that one.
No offense. They suck.
Pablo, play the other BAM 3. Let's go.
We need some
hype, some good things to talk about, because
I couldn't find the other BAM 3.
God damn it, Pablo.
I'm still looking for
play it. Play the other one you had.
Just have it on rerun.
Look at that form.
Bang.
This is our dopamine.
I will say, if he continues shooting that, I'm happy. But like at the same time, I'm not happy.
I mean, you're happy because he's making them, but that's not like... I mean, at that point, the offense was so bad.
Yeah.
Let them bitches fly. But like in a ideal situation, Bam shouldn't be shooting all.
How many more of those is he gonna have to like make before? Look how far away the nearest defender. Let's run that clip one more time. Look how far the nearest defender is from him.
No, that's why he has to take those. There was one he could have taken in the fourth that he passed it to Caleb. That Caleb bricked the three. That he could have taken it himself. But I thought Caleb should have driven in and got to the basket. They were down three at that point. There we go. Here's the corner three. I like this one in rhythm.
That I liked more. And I like that break, it was like
semi transition. Yeah.
Yep. Step back. One, two, ba bam. Easy.
His form looks nice. Like, I will say, like, he could probably take like three of those a game and probably make like 33% throughout the whole season if they really let him. But I don't think that's good offense for Miami still.
Brian,
I mean, if they're going in.
Have you seen our points per possession?
Have you seen their offense?
Is elite at this moment in time.
Could they somehow run like a pick and pop with Duncan and Bam?
Yes, they could, but
waiting for the today. By the way,
is that the next variation of the Duncan Bam two man game?
Yeah,
I need
Duncan's
that to
gonna be the driver.
I need that to be the next.
Can variation. Duncan be the one doing the dribble handoff?
Oh, no, that is despicable work.
That would be so funny. DHO to Bam right back to the.
Oh my god, that would literally destroy the entire like NBA. Like that'd be more of like an endgame NBA than Wemby shooting threes and doing what he's doing right now. Like that's the end all.
Wemby shooting like
no
32%
team can ever defeat phony. That two man combination.
Yeah, Bam's
like Shaq and Kobe could never.
No, absolutely not. Let at some point, I need Bam to just go to the summer league to start chucking threes.
Dude, he has. He,
and you know, how many points do you think Bam could score in summer league if he played next year?
And like 56. Is he gonna give there? Are they gonna give him like 30 minutes? 56 points, easy. Free. Probably bang like 4 or 5.
I would love to see that.
Depends if you catch him on the week where you can't hit a shot.
Play like an exhibition summer league game for charity or something.
It's called Miami Pro, guys. Check it out.
It's that is season. True. That is true.
He crazy.
Lou. No, he does this in Miami Pro. He hits like 5 threes a game in Miami Pro. It's ridiculous. This isn't a new thing. This is like he was doing this pre-pandemic. He was doing that shit when Hassan was on the team. He would be pulling up. I was there recording him dribble pull-ups in transition, in semi-transition. He just going ISO 1-2 boom boom, knock down a three. And this has always been in his skill set. It's just something that NBA players are that good. You see, Derrick Jones Jr. was doing the pull-up threes from in Miami Pro. Okay, so that just shows you how good these guys are.
Bam, while I used to work at the arena, Bam would practice his threes from like all five spots. Typically, shot about 70%. Like obviously, his practice, but I was like, man, let this motherfucker shoot, man. Like that's the only, like you know, it. Not to say he's gonna be knocked down, but shit, at this moment in time. That's a dynamic. And talk about when Jimmy comes back.
Pick and pop.
Yeah, Jimmy looks beautiful when there's a center on the floor who is not Bam or Thomas Bryant. Why? He has extra lanes to do Jimmy things. So if Bam can ever get a decent pick and pop, we heard a kabam today. It took me back to Chris Bosh days where he used to be Kabosh. And then I thought, why doesn't he say Kabutler? Because they all start with B's. I don't know. I digress.
Kabutler. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. Please, Cub Butler. That was the worst thing Lou's ever said. And he has a saucy takes beam up there. Cub Butler. This guy. All right. Let's head out, guys.
Fuera.
Next game. Big game against the Cavs. No Max Strus, all likelihood. So no reunion.
Yeah, no Max Strus. And I don't even know if we even see Donovan Mitchell still. He's still rehabbing from his knee.
Yeah,
injury.
They just picked up Marcus Morris, and he had a big game for them.
They did. I did not know that.
Yeah, he had his first game, had 14 points off the bench, 4 or 5 from three. Nice. But, you know, they have Tristan Thompson is playing at real NBA minutes for them. So they need to the Heat need to win this game.
Well, if Jimmy's not playing, I don't have much hope for them winning that game either.
Yeah.
Look, Cleveland's good regardless who's on the floor for them. Like they figured out some of the Heat techniques of winning with like 5 or 6 guys healthy on the floor. So they're playing a version of Miami Heat basketball that's kind of better than what Miami's playing right now with a short man roster.
Max Strus is Heat culture, man.
Yeah. Honestly, they've stolen. He's given some of the secrets away. I'll say that.
We need Cole Swider to get a Max Strus injection. Yeah. At some fucking point.
All right, let's close up the show. Heat lose 98-91. Back at it. Important game for the 10, the road trip. On Wednesday against Cleveland in Cleveland. I'm Frankie G. Lou, where can the people find you?
At Saucy Takes. Depressing Saucy day. Takes. No spaces.
Pablito, where can the people find you?
Pablito3 on Twitter or X. Same shit.
Brian, where can the people find you?
You can find me at BY Brian Goings by Brian Goings Yeah, I don't know if you really want to follow me at this point. I'm just hate tweeting a lot. I feel like I don't really have any positive tweets. This is kind of what my Twitter account's become. Like I retweet some like the news that I like, and then every once in a while I'll pop in with like this negative thought that comes to my head. And it's usually like the third one. Like there's ones I could tweet that are way worse, and I share them with us in the DMs in our Heapy chat. But the ones I do tweet are like two tiers below where my head's at. Yeah, this team's not making me very happy right now. I'll put it that way.
Brian was celebrating when Bam was having bad games. He's like, I was right. He had a bad game.
Listen, I haven't been wrong that much this year, have I?
I mean, when you're right, you're right, you know? That's yeah. About it.
Somebody posted this hilarious, I don't know if we can get this up on right now, Pablo, but if it's in our Heapy chat, I want to close the show with this. If you can pull up the tweet that Alf shared, it's literally the last tweet that's in our chat that somebody shared. It's a picture of what our floor of our Heat culture floor should say. Oh my God. I want to end the show with that if we can.
Please do. Chat is asking if Tiffany will be here for the Cavs game. Tiff will be hosting on Wednesday. The post game show.
So this is basically like the motto of this Heat team, this current 2023-24 Heat season. Two things: in the play-in, under the second apron.
Fucking hell.
Dun dun dun. Good night.